Roger Daltrey Up Close is being brought to you by Greyhound and Trailways. Anytime, anywhere, there's a money saver going on Greyhound and Trailways. For 20 years, Roger Daltrey was the lead singer for one of rock and roll's most legendary bands, The Who. Since The Who's breakup in 1982, Roger has continued to make great music as a solo artist in addition to pursuing an acting career. In celebration of the release of his new album, Can't Wait to See the Movie, Roger tells us about his solo career, acting, and of course, life with The Who. So join us now as the MCA Radio Network presents Roger Daltrey, Up Close.
It's so easy being a solo artist, just managing yourself. It's so easy. It's really difficult in a group. Democracy doesn't work in a group. Too much compromise and democracy in rock and roll makes for wishy-washy groups. So it's great being on my own, building something up.
Oh, I swear it's the price of love. Why don't you all free me?
I miss me mates. I still do. The Who, they were my life for 15 years. It was an incredible love affair. It was wonderful. And I love those guys. I still do. I've got incredible affection for Townsend and Entwistle. I mean, and it'll always be there. I mean, it would sound corny, but I could almost say I'd die for them. And that's how strongly I feel about them. You know, we went through so much together. You can't go through all that and not feel that way about someone. You can't do it. I don't think you can. I can't. What I try and do with the songs is strip them right down once I get them and say, yeah, that's a great song, but now it's got to become a great Roger Daltrey song. So I do an incredible amount of work on them, even down to writing new lyrics for certain bits. And although I'm not a very good songwriter, I can make a song work for me very well.
Hearts of Fire from Roger Daltrey's latest album, Can't Wait to See the Movie. Hi, I'm Dan Neer. London-born Roger Daltrey has become one of rock's most recognizable singers as frontman for The Who. But according to Roger, achieving this success was not easy.
For me, life has been a battle, basically. I mean, it really has. I mean, it's simple as that. I came from Shepherd's Bush, working class background, slung out of school at 15, straight out to work in a factory. I mean, what was there in front of me if I'd gone the normal route of a guy in my situation? I mean, it sounds awful, doesn't it? To get where I am, it's been a real battle. But I'm afraid it's true, it is a battle. I see life as a battle.
In fact, times were so hard for a budding musician back then that...
I did actually make my first guitar. I made the guitars for the whole band. That's how poor we were. I mean, if you have to think back then, a bloody guitar was more expensive than a car. Come on, we didn't even have a car, let alone buy a guitar.
So, without wheels, but armed with his new guitar, Roger set out to make his fortune in rock and roll.
First time I ever played publicly, I was 14 years old, and it was in a pub in Brighton on the seafront, and I was working for the princely sum of 75 cents a night, and all the beer I could drink, which at the age of 14 was about half a pint.
At the age of 15, Roger formed his own band, The Detours. The band went through several personnel changes until they hit upon the magical combination of Roger Daltrey, Entwistle, and Keith Moon. The Detours became The Who, landed a record deal, and in 1965 released their first album, My Generation.
People try to put us to death.
Talking about my generation.
Just because we get around.
Talking about my generation.
Things they do look awful.
Talking about my generation.
I hope I die before I get old.
Talking about my generation.
Take my generation.
The The statue on Generation was just an idea to throw up this image of this pilled up mud. Not that I was ever really into drugs, but I still identified with the kids that were.
Following My Generation, the Who went into the studio to record I Can See for Miles, a technically ambitious project that rewarded The Who with their first top 10 hit in America.
The only thing I do remember about I Can See for Miles is that it was the first time we ever spent 2 days actually doing a single. And I think we spent a whole day of that doing the harmonies and the backing vocals. It was great fun. We were laying them layers and layers of these voices on, doing sevenths and really revolutionary things then, those kind of harmonies. It was a fabulous record and it stands up today. The energy on that record is phenomenal.
I know you deceive me, now here's a surprise. I know that you have, cause there's magic in my eyes. I can see for miles and miles and
Roger talks about one of the most amazing jams in rock and roll history that took place under the stage when Roger Daltrey Up Close continues. In 1969, The Who presented the rock opera Tommy. Not only was this a new concept for the band, it gave Roger Daltrey his first experience in acting.
We've done this grandiose project, and like all rock and roll, or good rock and roll projects, it needed a lot of hype. So we announced it as this wonderful rock opera and all this and all that and everything else, and I was up there singing the whole thing every night, doing all the parts. And of course, I suppose really I've had the actor in me all the time. And obviously when you start to sing that part every night, it does affect you. It can't help but affect you. It affects the way you think. Whether I became Tommy or not, I don't know, but obviously it had a great effect on me. It was a wonderful thing for a singer to be able to actually perform. It was fabulous, because, I mean, normally you get up there and do a 3-minute song, then have a break, and then have another 3-minute song. To actually go up there and become a total character with these songs that went on for 10 minutes and then the whole project going on for like an hour, it was just wonderful. It was really, it was the ultimate thing for a rock singer to be able to do.
Ever since I was a young boy, I played the silver ball. From Soho down to Brighton, I must have played them all. But I ain't seen nothing like him in any amusement.
Pinball Wizard, with Roger Daltrey singing and playing the part of Tommy. Over the years, Roger has performed with some of the greatest names in rock and roll. But you have to go back to June 18th, 1967, 20 years ago, to find his fondest memory.
I think my main memory of Monterey was the dressing room under the stage, which was filled with all the biggest rock personalities in the world. It was Jimi Hendrix, Eric Clapton, Brian Jones was there. I think George Harrison was there. I think he was there. The Who, and Jimmy was jamming. I remember that he played like a whole set before he went on, and it was just the best time I've ever seen Jimi Hendrix. We used to go and watch him all the time in all the little clubs. But in that dressing room just before Monterey, he was the best I've ever seen him. You can imagine just Hendrix playing with Clapton, with Brian Jones, with Townsend, Moon, and everybody was banging and just grooving, you know. Oh, it was fabulous.
Live Rock from Odds and Sods.
Hi, this is Roger Daltrey. Don't go away, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Roger Daltrey Up Close. Roger reveals the inside story of one of rock's most legendary screams.
On Pete's demo, I Won't Get Fooled Again, there's an indication of a yell. I think he goes at the end of the big organ part, and he went, yeah! And I thought, well, that's all right. But I don't know. To me, it was the ultimate expression. It was the scream from the horror from the centre of your body, and I thought this just has got to come over as someone totally letting go. We recorded that at Mick Jagger's house on the Stones mobile, and I remember when I first did it, and I just did it out of frustration. Because it was the track was just so good, and I was like, yeah! And Glenn came in holding his ears, and he said, "That's great, he said, let's really go for one." So it grew from there, and it got bigger and bigger until it ended up what it is. I think from where it is on the record, it got even bigger on stage.
Get Fooled Again from Who's Next. Following his screen debut in Tommy, Roger Daltrey continued with his acting career, first in Listomania and then in 1980 with the film McVicar.
It did me a lot of good, McVicar. I mean, it was a challenge, but it was a miserable part to play. I hated it. It took me about 6 months to take the character off, and I didn't enjoy that very much.
And from the soundtrack of McVicar, here's Free Me. When we continue, The Who disband and Roger pursues a solo career on Roger Daltrey Up Close. Roger Daltrey Up Close has been brought to you by Greyhound and Trailways. Anytime, anywhere, there's a money saver going on Greyhound and Trailways. Following the release of their 1982 album, It's Hard, The Who decided to call it a day. Here's Roger Daltrey.
You're forever trying not to do what you did before, which becomes more and more difficult, and perhaps it's impossible. But it's that awful feeling of being a parody. It's strange. And that's what I felt with The Who. We weren't breaking any new ground, and the things that we'd done in the past were far more popular than anything that we've done in recent years. And it gives you a strange feeling. It's not to say that you still might not come up with something fabulous, but it just gets more and more difficult. So we've decided to take a break.
With The Who a thing of the past, Roger started to pursue his solo career in earnest. On his album Under a Raging Moon, Daltrey once again found himself singing a Pete Townshend song, After the Fire. Here's Pete.
It's about Ethiopia. It actually came from a guy called Kevin Jendon and his wife Penny Jendon, who helped Bob Geldof administer the money for Live Aid. And they said, you know, this money will put out the fire, you know, it'll feed people right now, but it'll still smoulder. And I wrote it so that Roger and I could sing it solo. I wanted me to play guitar and him to sing it at Live Aid. In the end, we never got round to doing it. So I said to Roger, why don't you do it on the album? We'll give the proceeds to Band Aid.
In the summer of 1987, Roger Daltrey released Can't Wait to See the Movie, an album that nearly didn't make it out of the studio.
When I make albums, it does totally take my life over. I mean, everything else has to go out the window. My acting career stops, everything stops, and I do become totally immersed in it. I mean, and in some ways, it slows things up because you sometimes do get too close to things. There was a point last year, for instance, I just wanted to scrap this album totally, and it's exactly the album that's there. But I just got so close to it, I thought, oh, I'm doing exactly the wrong thing, I shouldn't be doing this, you know, artist paranoia. But again, it's probably because I had just cut everything else out of my life. It all becomes too important, because in the end, it still is, although it's very important to me, life still goes on around it. And it's very easy to forget that when you're making them. David Foster, who plays keyboards on The Price of Love, he wrote that song with a guy called Jack Blades from a group called Night Ranger. And that song, again, that actually is a soundtrack song, and it's from The Secret of My Success, the Michael J. Fox film. I haven't seen it yet, but I will.
And Roger, what about these rumors of a Who 25th anniversary reunion?
We might do something. I mean, it's been unfairly quoted that we're getting back together, and obviously we'll have to get together to do whatever we're going to do. But I mean, we've talked about just the three of us getting together to do something, have a party or something, just to celebrate our 25 years, because we had such a great time. There's nothing more serious than that. No tours, no nothing. Hopefully we'll have a good party and a good jolly up.
We'd like to thank Bill and Jackie Kirbersley and Ann Weldon of Left Field Services, Judy LeBeau, Perry Cooper, and all of the people at Atlantic Records. Special thanks to Mal Redding. Roger Daltrey Up Close was produced in New York by Near Perfect Productions as an exclusive presentation of the MCA Radio Network. The producers are David Bales and DeWitt Nelson. I'm Dan Near, executive producer. Thanks for listening.